Ringing in a record first quarter profit, or at least forecasting one, Samsung is tipping revenue for the quarter to rise 18.7% to over $56 billion and expects profits to leap 57.6% from a year earlier to over $14 billion. Although detailed earnings won't be released until later this month. But the strong outlook wasn't enough to soothe investor concerns that the semiconductor boom that's driven earnings is about to end. Shares fell as much as 2.7% before paring losses to close down 0.7%.
President Trump's personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, due back in federal court, and porn star Stormy Daniels says she'll be there. A lawyer for Daniels, whose real name is Stephanie Clifford, said over the weekend that she will appear at Cohen's court hearing, which is in connection with an FBI raid on his New York office and home.
While Tesla may have the lead in electric supercars, there's a new challenger coming around the bend. A Taiwanese startup has just unveiled a battery-powered speedster called Miss R that's looking to leave other supercars in the dust. Zing Mobility says it's the first electric supercar that can be switched between on- and off-road modes, using four motors, one placed at each of the car's wheels, using lessons learned from the supercar to take on established engine heavyweights like Volvo, Caterpillar, and Honda.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's April 17th, tax day, and it's 5:11 in the morning. We're happy you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell. Today on the broadcast, in our second segment, reporters and staff at the Chicago Tribune have decided that they're going to unionize, and we're going to be talking with the Chicago Tribune reporter about this coming up, what's next for the newsroom, and what this means for you as a reader. And in a minute, we're going to bring in our first guest to talk about summer jobs in Chicago. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, stocks in the United States poised for another opening gains, day of opening gains on Wall Street. Dow futures up 126 points. That's good for about 0.5%. NASDAQ up about 0.5% as well. S&P futures are up just about 0.4%, 11 points this morning. Around the globe, markets are generally higher in London, Germany, and in France this morning. In Germany, with the markets up almost a 0.5%. And in Asia, markets are mixed, with the Nikkei off just about 12 points. The Hang Seng off 252 points. The Shanghai off about 43. Oil this morning is trading at $66.17 a barrel, which is down about 5 cents. A couple of stories that we're watching for you this morning. The United States and UK say Russia is targeting internet hardware for espionage. Washington and London yesterday jointly accused the Russian government of maliciously targeting global internet equipment for political and economic espionage. Two governments say Russian operations, which allegedly involve planting malware on internet routers and other equipment, could also lay the foundation for future offensive cyber attacks. The mayor of Philadelphia, Jim Kenney, says he's pleased that Starbucks executives were in his city yesterday to talk about what led to the arrest of two black men at a Starbucks store last week. Kenney says the executives were very contrite. Starbucks has said it wants to add training for store managers on unconscious bias. Police were called to the store after the men were denied the use of a bathroom and were accused of loitering in the store because they hadn't bought anything and allegedly refused to leave. They say they were waiting there to meet a third man who showed up on videotape as the whole thing was going down. The owners of the Chicago Tribune Tower have unveiled plans to build a skyscraper next to the building. That would be the city's second tallest. The plans outlined late yesterday include a plan to convert the home of the Chicago Tribune and WGN Radio into residential condominiums and retail space. Next door will be a 1,422-foot high-rise with 700 residences and 200 hotel rooms. Front and center this morning, summer jobs in Chicago. We're happy to have with us two guests with us, Rodney Carter, the COO of Bright Star Community Outreach, and Nicole Carter, Director of Community Strategy and Development at Bright Star Community Outreach. Good morning to both of you, and welcome to the Opening Bell.
Oh, thank you so much.
Good morning.
Rodney, let's begin with you. Talk to a little bit about what you do there at Bright Star Community Outreach.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm the chief operating officer, and I oversee all of the programming and administration components of the organization.
Nicole, this is a big outreach program that you've got going on now to try to get kids summer jobs in the city.
Absolutely. So we are every year part of the One Summer Chicago program through the City of Chicago. And this year we've been quite ambitious in the number of young people that we're trying to reach. And at Bright Star, we're really, really intentional about making this an opportunity for them way beyond a paycheck. We want them to be hireable and employable at the end of the summer. So making sure that they have workforce development skills, but also that they are afforded the opportunity to work in areas that they would not be able to get on their own.
Rodney, what would be an ideal placement that would fit those criteria?
Well, there's a variety of different ways that we can be able to do that. And so one of the things that we really look at holistically as an organization is really looking at how we can empower youth and families in the community. And so if you are a youth who is looking forward to employment over the summer, one of the main criteria is just being open and available for employment, and then also looking forward to mentorship, because one of the things and the beauties of what we do at Bright Star through One Summer Chicago is not only offering employment for youth, but then also an opportunity for mentorship to help empower them for beyond just that particular summer for employment.
Nicole, what are we talking about in terms of the commitment here, hours per week, number of weeks that this will happen?
Sure. So it's 6 weeks. It begins on July 2nd and it goes through August the 10th. In terms of young people, their commitment to us would be 20 hours a week. And that is 16 hours of employment. And then we also offer 4 hours of enrichment per week. If there's an employer who's looking to place a young person, they would just need to commit to 16 hours a week that the young person would be employed. But we also ask that someone at that location, similar to what Rodney said, be available to mentor the young person. We want them to be able to get constructive feedback, to know where they're doing well, where opportunities they may have for improvement. So we're definitely looking for someone who can engage the young person over those 6 weeks.
What are some examples of past placements that have been successful?
Sure. I like to say that we do everything from retail to research, but we have excellent partners at the University of Chicago through the Chicago Center for Youth Violence Prevention. They often host young people for us. Northwestern Medicine provides our young people opportunities to be in the research arena. Actually, this year we have solidified a partnership with Cigna, who's going to allow a few young people to be there. Last year, we had probably 50 to 60 young people who worked for Cook County, and they had an awesome experience. Not one young person complained about any day of work, which you know is a miracle if you know young people.
That is, it seems
so
like, yeah.
We've had awesome success. We're very intentional in how we place the young people as well. Our employers are given the opportunity to interview if that's something that they would like to do, or through Bright Star Community Outreach, we will place them as well after we've interviewed them and found out what some of their interests are. So we try to make sure that we make an excellent match because we want success for the summer.
Nicole Carter is here with us, Rodney Carter as well, both from Community Outreach, Bright Star Community Outreach in Chicago.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Asian and European markets are mixed as traders digest new economic data about China's economy and monitor global earnings reports. China, whose leader recently promised to open up more markets to foreigners, today announced a big step in that direction. It will allow full foreign ownership of auto manufacturers in 5 years. Shares of Netflix are up more than 6% in pre-market trading after a blockbuster report. The video streaming giant reported after the closing bell yesterday that it added nearly 2 million subscribers, far more than expected. A Los Angeles Harbor Commission will vote Thursday on a plan by SpaceX to build a big new rocket in the port of Los Angeles. If you're flying to or from Europe today, check your airline. About 30% of Air France flights are expected to be canceled. Crews and ground staff are striking over pay. And do you have your taxes done? Today is tax deadline day. Mona Rivera, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. We're on this morning with Rodney Carter, the COO of Brightstar Community Outreach, and Nicole Carter, the Director of Community Strategy and Development at Brightstar Community Outreach. Rodney, let me ask you this. We've seen One Summer Chicago now for several years. It seems to be having a significant impact during the summer in a couple of ways. One, keeping young people busy doing something, and also workforce development. What grade would you give it?
Well, actually, what you said, I would definitely give it A as it relates to what is it doing if I could grade it. And that's because, like you said, it's really helping the youth to get busy. It's giving them opportunity. And with what we do as a holistic approach to looking at how do we improve our community, and also how are we looking at ways to reduce violence, is really required to have a multi-layered approach to that. And one of those multi-layered approaches is employment for all of the community, especially our youth. And so being able to do that and contributing to that multi-layered approach for violence reduction and improving the community is definitely a big piece. And so we're very excited to just be one of many organizations who's offering this opportunity to people.
Nicole, are companies, firms, businesses in the area, are they stepping up in your eyes enough, or is more needed?
So I think that they're doing a great job. Of course, we always need more because we really want our young people to have a rich experience over the summer. So if there are organizations that can afford them the opportunity in the business sector to shadow, to see what that would look like. You know, sometimes with some of our young people, just having somewhere to go every day and to have to dress up is a really good step and can be workforce development in and of itself. So I definitely would love to see more organizations step up, and there's no financial liability to the organization. The funding for the young people's salary comes directly from the city, and so they just need to afford them the opportunity, and definitely, like we talked about, the mentoring experience to be one of our sites for the summer.
That mentoring experience, we have hit that topic several times on this program, about how important it is, not just for young people, but for everyone in the workforce. Rodney, let me ask you this. Preparing young people not just for a summer of work, but potentially a future of work as well.
No, absolutely. And that's one of the things we pride ourselves on at Brightstar with our One Summer Chicago program, because we really want to be able to offer job readiness training, overall mentorship, and just preparation for life beyond just that summer job opportunity that they would have. Based on the work that we do at Brightstar for mentoring overall and working with youth, is that one of the struggles that a lot of the youth and a lot of marginalized communities have is that they really lack point of reference and opportunity. And it's unfortunate, but for a lot of youth in our community, for example, Nicole mentioned that we have partners that are in the downtown area that offer the summer employment through this program for our youth. For some of our youth in our communities, downtown is as good as Paris. You know, they've never been out of their community. And I was at an event the other day where the mayor was speaking, and he mentioned something very powerful. He said that youth cannot be what they cannot see. And so one of the things that we pride ourselves on is giving youth this opportunity to look beyond the walls of their community, to see opportunities of what can possibly be for them when they get opportunities. And so we want to be able to give them that point of reference, that opportunity, and then also the other type of mentorship components for this holistic scope of what we're able to offer them over the summer.
Nicole, as we close out here, tell us again, and also the business audience that's listening, young people too that might be listening, what is the call to action here? What do they have to do to get going?
Sure. The first thing for the young people is that they will go to the One Summer Chicago website and they would register. That registration goes through, I believe, the 22nd of May. So they definitely want to jump on that opportunity. After that, if they're interested in working at Brightstar Community Outreach, they can just quickly send me an email to Nicole, N-I-C-H-O-L-E, at Brightstar Community Outreach, letting me know they're interested, and we'll begin the process. For any employer that's interested, they can just send me an email as well to the same email address, and I will follow up with them in terms of next steps. It's really very simple, but I would love to get the process started.
Rodney, Nicole, thank you so much for being with us this morning, and all the best to everyone at Bright Star Community Outreach.
Thank you for having us.
Nicole Carter, Director of Community Strategy and Development at Bright Star Community Outreach. Rodney Carter, the COO at Bright Star Community Outreach. Again, you can find more information at onesummerchicago.org and head over to learn more about Nicole and Rodney and all of their colleagues at brightstarcommunityoutreach.com.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. Chicago entrepreneur and tech investor Howard Tolman is ready for his next challenge. The Illinois Institute of Technology announced that Tolman will be the first executive director for the school's Ed Kaplan Family Institute for Innovation and Tech Entrepreneurship. Tolman became the CEO of 1871 in 2013 and left the Chicago Incubator and Tech Hub earlier this month. Uptake, one of Chicago's fastest-growing startups, announced it has acquired Asset Performance Technologies, a company that's built a comprehensive library for equipment failure data. Uptake uses predictive analytics to help companies know when their machines are likely to break down and has raised $230 million since launching in 2014. And Target is launching a same-day delivery service for in-store purchases in Chicago. In-store shoppers who want to purchase an item at Target but don't want to lug it all the way home can pay $7 for Target to deliver it to their door. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell. The Chicago Tribune's editorial staff is forming a union. It's an historic move for the 171-year-old newspaper and comes just a couple of months after a similar organizing effort at the Los Angeles Times. And that organizing effort led to the announcement of the sale of the Times by Tronc, formerly known as Tribune Publishing. Tronc owns the Chicago Tribune, New York Daily News, Los Angeles Times, and other publications. And joining us this morning on the news line is Mary Wisniewski, transportation reporter at the Chicago Tribune, to talk more about this, the business of newspapers and forming a union. Mary, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Tell us what's going on. What's the current status of this organizing effort at the Tribune?
Sure. Well, just this past week, on last Wednesday, we went public with our effort because we decided that we had enough support in the newsroom to move forward. So right now we are gathering cards from members of the editorial staff that will allow us to, proclaim to the National Labor Relations Board that, you know, we would like to have the News Guild to be our to bargain for us. And so that's the effort we're doing right now, and we wouldn't have moved forward unless we felt we had a very strong support from the newsroom.
There was almost an immediate, I don't want to necessarily call it a reaction, but maybe you would, from the Tribune about this. We saw the controlling stake of Michael Farrow sold almost immediately after this. Were those two things connected?
We're not sure if those two things are connected. We do know that the sale of the LA Times came pretty hot on the heels after the formation of the union there. But our point of view is that it doesn't matter ultimately who the owner of the Tribune is. We've gone through a series of corporate owners that we feel has jeopardized our ability to do great work. And we want to be represented going forward. No matter who the owner is, we want to have a voice in the future of the paper. We feel like it's very important to the city of Chicago. It's important to democracy. We love the Tribune. We love the city. And we want to be able to do the work we need to do. But we can't do that if we continue to not have regular raises, cost of living adjustments, and we continue to lose great people to other jobs.
Give us a sense of what it's like in the newsroom at the Tribune these days. You mentioned some of those things. The Tribune, as a matter of fact, just recently announced even more cost-cutting measures and layoffs. What's the day-to-day atmosphere like?
There's been a lot of concern about losing talented people who go off to better paying jobs. There's also concern. We just had a group of layoffs of very valuable people in the newsroom, which caused a lot of distress. And we're going through a reorganization, which is changing some people's roles in the newsroom. And so the concern of the staff is that we want to continue to do good work. We want to continue to do the investigations that bring light to the city's government and to the state's government. And we don't feel that we can do this if we're in this constant state of turmoil and people are not staying at the paper. So we feel like we need to do this to support the Chicago Tribune. This is about the Tribune.
People might ask what's the difference between the employees working together and being, you know, in the having that union designation. What does the power of the union bring you?
What it does is it allows us to negotiate for cost of living adjustments, for job security, for maternity and paternity policy, which we don't have right now. The cost of our health care benefits keep going up. It will allow us to continue to work there. Speaking personally, I have a person with a chronic illness in my family, and I've been very much impacted by the increasing cost of health care benefits. And it's a concern. Some people have to take extra jobs in order to make it possible for them to work at the Tribune. It used to be that the Tribune was paid higher than union shops, and there was the prestige and that pay didn't made it unnecessary for people to join a union, but that's no longer true.
The business of newspapers is one that's anybody who reads the newspaper knows and follows this very closely, that there's been declining circulation. Things have changed in terms of print going digital. How is the positioning of this union going to move forward in that new digital age?
Well, we know that there have been changes in the economics for newspapers. That's true. But we also know that the people at the top of Tronc have been getting paid very, very well. Michael Farrell, who you'd mentioned before, got a $5 million a year contract recently for his consulting services. And even though he has resigned as chairman of the company, it appears that award will continue. We also see the other people at the head of the company getting very high salaries and bonuses. And so there is money at Tronc. It's just not going to the employees, people who are putting out the product the way we feel it should.
Is there an owner that might surface in all of this? I know there's been a couple of names out there. Yesterday we saw some indication that perhaps SoftBank was interested in purchasing the Tronc. We've also seen the McCormick family also come from the sides here to maybe get involved. What would you like to see in that area?
What we would like to see is an owner that is willing to invest in the newsroom. And if, you know, we don't know who the owner is going to be going forward, and so it, one of the things that we feel is so important is for us to have a voice, the journalists to have a voice in what's going forward. So it doesn't matter as much who the owner is, because we need to represent ourselves. We need to take matters into our own hands here and get a seat at the table. Someone joked that it's such a soap opera with all the different owners, is as the Tronc turns. You know, we don't know what's coming forward, but that's just one of the reasons why we feel like we need a union and we're stronger together.
It is remarkable how, through all of that, the staff of the Tribune keeps doing their jobs, keeps putting out a paper every day. I think people don't realize that paper, when it shows up in the morning, is done with all of this going on in the background. Will the readers of the paper see any difference once you're a union?
Not at all. As far as the quality of the product, I think that, you know, one thing that they will see different is that our standard of quality will continue, because we have strength in having a union. You're going to continue to see these great investigations. The investigation that was done that revealed the inequities in the property tax collection here in Cook County was recently a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize. So you're going to continue to see that kind of work, but we're going to have the strength of the union to help make sure that it continues.
And congratulations to everyone at the Tribune, by that, Ray Long as well. There are other Pulitzer Prize-winning journalists who work at the Tribune every day as well. They're behind this effort too, aren't they?
They are. We have Pulitzer Prize winners who were on the organizing committee, which is the committee of people that decided to put their names on this effort, because they feel that we love the paper. We want to continue to do what we're doing, and this is what this is about. This is for the Chicago Tribune. This is for Chicago. This is for democracy. We want to be able to continue to do great work.
The world's greatest newspaper, as a matter of fact, used to. And it led to us. So we are always grateful for that as well, WGN. So, Mary, what's the next step here? And can readers do anything to help you?
Yes, they can. What we're doing right now, as I had mentioned before, is that we're collecting cards from members of the newsroom, reporters, graphic designers, photographers, copy editors, and in order to submit them for an election to the National Labor Relations Board. One thing that readers can do is write letters to the editor expressing their support for the union. Another thing you can do is subscribe to the paper. It's sometimes I like to consider it the tithe we pay to democracy, our subscription to the newspaper. And if you subscribe to the paper, you support the work that we do.
Mary, all the best to you and your colleagues, and we'll be watching this very closely.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
All right, Mary Wisniewski of the Chicago Tribune. She's the transportation reporter there, but more importantly now, one of the spokespeople for the effort to unionize the editorial staff at the Chicago Tribune.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures are up 148 points. NASDAQ futures up 34. S&P futures up about 13. Let's update markets from agriculture and commodities now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. The weekly crop condition report issued yesterday showed a very small amount of corn planted and really no corn planted in Illinois, Indiana, or Iowa. And in the 18 states producing corn included in the report, only 3% of the nation's corn acres had been planted by Sunday night. Cotton planting, 8% of that completed. And then we take a look at conditions of winter wheat. Not good in the top producing states. Kansas, for example, 12% of the wheat crop, good to excellent condition. Oklahoma, well, about 8%. Reported in good to excellent condition, and that's not very good. In the marketplace yesterday, the grain market didn't show any action on the poorer crop conditions or lack of planting. For example, at the Board of Trade, July wheat ended down 9¾ cents a bushel. July corn down 3½ cents a bushel. July soybeans ended down 11¼ cents a bushel in yesterday's trade because they're looking at better weather and better crop conditions ahead. And, of course, we've still got a long way to go in springtime. Now, as we take a look at livestock trade at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, there we saw the June hog contract drop 80 cents a hundredweight, closing at 76.80. The June live cattle contract up half a dollar, and the April feeder cattle contract down 15 cents. So now we keep an eye on the weather, and when do we get started planting corn in the Midwest? Only Mother Nature will decide. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for Tuesday, April 17th. We'll get a report on housing starts at mid-morning. The Red Book due out today. Industrial production report also on the calendar for today. Number of Fed speakers are out, including Chicago's Charles Evans. It is a big day for earnings. Goldman Sachs, United Airlines, CSX Corporation, Progressive Corporation, Northern Trust, W.W. Grainger, Johnson & Johnson, Comerica. All big earnings reports out today. Things that could move the markets on this Tuesday, April the 17th.